This is Doug Miller. Gift presupposes nothing but gift. Let me give you that again. Gift presupposes nothing but gift. If you didn't understand that, you need to. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublitz. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand, and I believe you will find the time we will have together to be a great blessing. We are in the 18th chapter of Acts. We will pick it up with verse 24, which is where we left it off last week. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to that end, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners. This is a faith ministry. You have heard me say it many times. You will continue to hear me say it. Please pray for Dialogue. Of all the things you can do, your prayers are absolutely critical to this ministry. So if you have any concern about what we are doing at all, if we are doing anything that has blessed you, pray for Dialogue and tell others about us. And of course, we would always like to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublitz will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We always, and you hear me say this many times, always a pleasure and a delight to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to know where you are, to know how we can help you, if in anything, any questions we may ask, any materials we may provide. All of this without, I assure you, any strings of any kind attached. Your name doesn't go on a mailing list. We do not hit you up for money. That's not how we do it on Dialogue. Never have, never will. We love to hear from our listeners. Also, you can email if that's what does it for you. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Or you can pull up our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And we have our messages, some of them on there anyway, and information about Dialogue Ministries. So take a look at that. If you wish to talk to me, the telephone, area code 405-535-9089. That's area code 405-535-9089. And you'll get a recording, and I'll get back with you. And I won't just be, it won't be at breakneck speed, I assure you. But, you know, I check the phone every day to see if what's going on there, and I'll call you back, and we can talk. Okay, 18th chapter of Acts. Last time we saw Paul leaving Corinth, where he had been staying, and had stayed there quite a while, actually. And he had been staying with Priscilla and Aquila. And the last time we saw Paul leaving, he goes to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, very interesting place, very interesting city. My wife and I were there once and went through the old ruins, and it's very interesting. Ephesus was a port city in Paul's day. Today, the ocean is several miles away. I guess silt out of the rivers is filled in there, but at the time that Paul was alive, you took the ships right into the port, you got off the ship, and there was a marble, a very nice road that led from the port directly up to the amphitheater, which, of course, is we'll hear about that in chapter 19. And the city is really rather fascinating. It was a major, major city at the time. The patron goddess of Ephesus was Diana. It was a place given over to idol worship, as were all of these cities. But there was work going on at Ephesus, and Paul, of course, when he got there, there was real work going on. An assembly was established, and we have one of, I think, arguably the finest of the New Testament letters, the letter to the Ephesians. This letter is just powerful and just marvelous. But it is a letter for mature people and mature believers. And Watchman Nee, incidentally, had an interesting little book called Sit, Walk, Stand about Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So here we have it. Paul is in Ephesus now. And when we saw this the last time, he had Priscilla and Aquila with him. And it says in verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now let's stop it there. I said at the first of this broadcast, gift presupposes nothing but gift. There's a reason I said that. All of you out there, if you are saved, you should be in a good Christ-exalting and Bible-believing church, and one where you can gather with other believers to honor and bless and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and get the kind of teaching that can strengthen and help and encourage you. I hope you all are. But I want to tell you something, and this is very important and very critical. There is such a thing as gift. Some people are trying to function in the assemblies and in the churches out there by using gift that they only wish they had, but that in fact they don't have. And I doubt there are any of you out there who, if you will think about it, will not understand exactly what I'm saying. How many times have you been in church and sat under the preaching of an individual who really couldn't preach? And you sat there, and this individual absolutely bored you to tears. I don't know, I hope not, but maybe you have spent most of your life under that kind of ministry, and maybe you don't even know any better. Maybe you think that's how it ought to be. On the other hand, if you have ever sat under a gifted teacher and preacher, someone who can get up on that platform and under the power of the Holy Spirit open this Word of God in such a way as to really edify and challenge you, you know what it is to sit under and be the beneficiary of a gifted individual. Now, the gifts were given to the assembly and given to the body to profit all. But just because someone says, I have been called to preach, it doesn't necessarily follow that that individual has been called to preach. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, as we say. Let that individual show by his preaching that this is indeed what he's been called to do. You can send someone to seminary. You can send them down there, and they can, you know, they'll put them through homiletics courses, and they'll put them through hermeneutics, and they'll put them through what have you, ecclesiology and soteriology, and they'll give them a degree and teach them enough Greek to be dangerous, but they cannot give them gift if the Lord didn't give it to them, and it's just that simple. Now, don't you let anyone kid you on this one. Gift cannot be taught. It's just, once again, it's just that simple. And all of you know this, if you have any experience out there at all. A gifted individual, one who has true gift from the Lord, will not only function in his or her gift profitably, they will edify others, and they will be edified as they use that gift. And I can assure you, when true spiritual gift is being exercised, the hearts of all those who are under that gift are drawn to Christ. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit's business is to exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to draw people to Him. That's what He does. And the individual who is merely drawing people to himself is not using a spiritual gift. And there are a lot of slick operators out there. There are a lot of guys who can operate, but they are not drawing people to the Lord. All right? Now, we have here in this man, Apollos, an interesting, interesting case. He was born, as we see, in Alexandria. He was an Alexandrian. His name is a Greek name, and he is a perfect example of the Jews that were out in the diaspora, out in the dispersing. You've heard me say this before on here. Here it comes again. At the time that this was written, at the time that Apollos was born, the intellectual center of the world had moved from Athens to Alexandria. And down in Alexandria is where all the Neoplatonists were. And down in Alexandria was where so many of the heresies came out of, both the Arian and the Gnostic heresies came out of Alexandria, where all the philosophers hung out. And here, this is what Apollos came out of. But he was not an heretic. Oh, no. Look at what the Bible says about him. He was mighty in the Scriptures. Mighty. He knew the book. He had in hand, no doubt, that Septuagint, that Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is the only Bible that was out there at the time. And he knew it, and he knew it well. In fact, the translation had been done in Alexandria. So, and here was a young man, no doubt, a Jew, who he was mighty in the Scriptures. Let's see what else it says about him. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, and let me emphasize that he was instructed up to a point. He had some shortcomings, as we shall see here in just a little bit. But he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was looking for Messiah. He understood that Messiah was coming, and he understood that salvation was by grace through faith in Messiah. That Messiah is the one who would come and deliver Israel and deliver the Gentiles and be the very center around whom all the Lord's people would gather. He knew these things. And it says he was fervent in the Spirit. You know, you got to love a kid like this, this young man, and I'm persuaded he was quite young here. You got to love him. He was fervent. I want to say, if I can say this without stepping on too many toes, that, oh, well, let me just go ahead and step on some toes. We need more fervency out there among the believers. We've got enough of this, and we've had enough of it for a long time, of individuals occupying pews and, you know, rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, as they would say. And that's all the Lord has called them to do, as they see it. And that's all you can ever get out of them. We need some people who are exercised and who are stirred up and who are willing to get out there and do something for the Lord. And, you know, where the Lord has called them and pointed out a path to them, they are not going to say, as Dawson Trotman used to say, oh, well, I'll just do my best in my own weak way. Twiddle. Old Doss Trotman used to say, God doesn't want you to do anything in your weak way. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this man Apollos was fervent. And he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Wow! Wouldn't you love to have a man like this in your church? He was eloquent and passionate. Then he knew the scriptures, and he taught the things of the Lord, and he was instructed. And he was a mighty and a powerfully gifted man. But, what did I say to you earlier? Gift only presupposes gift. An individual can be very gifted and yet be very immature. An individual can have a wagon load of gift and yet really not know how to use it. Why do I say this, and why is this important to all of you who are listening to me out there? Here is why. Gift has a tendency, in my experience, to run away with itself and to carry people away with it. And gifted individuals are frequently, by the gift alone, propelled into places of authority and responsibility that they shouldn't be in. I don't know of a place in the New Testament where it says that gifted individuals are the ones that ought to be running the assembly. The assembly ought to be run, directed, and guided by elders, and elders are just exactly what that word implies. They are older men who have been in the way of the Lord and are instructed, and Paul says specifically in his first letter to Timothy, not a novice, lest he fall into condemnation. Young men need to be guided by older and experienced Christians, believers who have been in the way. Otherwise, what do you get? You get individuals like Apollos here who can preach and teach, and people listen to them, and often they don't know what they're doing. They are not seasoned. They haven't been in the way long enough. They haven't been around long enough. There are many things to learn about the corporate life of Christ and the church and the assembly and what to do in the assembly that you can learn only with time. Look at this guy, Apollos. He was diligent, eloquent, fervent, instructed, but he only knew the baptism of John. That's all he knew. He only knew the baptism of John. Now, we're going to run again into this in the 19th chapter when we get down there. He knew John's baptism, and that was all. Now, what did he know? He knew that Messiah was coming. He knew that John had come preaching a baptism of repentance, the forerunner to the king, the forerunner to the Messiah, the one who proclaimed, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But what Apollos didn't know, look at this. I mean, it's really kind of amazing. He didn't know that Jesus Christ had come. He didn't know that the Messiah had come. He didn't know that the Messiah was rejected by the body of the Jews in Jerusalem, and that he was crucified and dead and buried. He didn't know that the Holy Spirit had come. He, Apollos, probably didn't know a thing about the church. That'd be my guess. Don't know it for sure. But it says all he knew was the baptism of John. That's as far as he had ever been taken. Well, there's a lot that happened after John came, and a lot that Apollos needed to know. Apollos is down preaching and teaching in the synagogues. Well, guess what happens? He was speaking boldly. And guess who heard him? Aquila and Priscilla. Now look at these individuals. There is nowhere in this scripture that I know of where it says that Aquila and Priscilla were eloquent and fervent and and able and mighty in the sky. I don't know. It doesn't say anything like that. But I'll tell you one thing we know about them. They had the gift of hospitality. They were the kind of people, this couple, who would open their home and take people in. And they had not only, they had the church met in their home. We know that from Paul's letter to the Romans. And we know this, that they took Paul in, and Paul lived with them. Now, look how it works here, friends. It goes downhill. You pay it forward. Paul, living with Priscilla and Aquila, imagine what they learned from him and how they taught, how he must have taught them. Paul says to Timothy, "What you have heard from me," this is in the first letter, "among many witnesses, that you commit to good and faithful men who will be able to help others also." This is how it works, friends. This is really what it's all about. "You've heard these things from me," Paul says. "Now pass it on. You teach others, but make sure the people you commit these things to are faithful. You don't cast your pearls before swine." Now just imagine Aquila and Priscilla. They're down here in the synagogue, and Aquila says, "Priscilla, listen to this kid. Man, he is great." And Priscilla, imagine her saying, "Well, yeah, he is, Apollos, but he's ignorant. Listen to what he's talking about. I think you better get a hold of him and bring him home. I think we need to take him under our wings and teach him a little bit." So what happens? They take him in. And they took him unto themselves and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. This is how it works. And I can just imagine the light comes on in Apollos' head, and he says, "Well, I didn't know this. Man, this is great. Man, I thank you." And look, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Wow. He was eloquent before, but all he knew was John's baptism. Now he's eloquent and he knows a lot more because an older couple who were well instructed took him in and taught him and said, "Son, let us give you some help." Now, those of you who are out there, I hope in your assemblies and in your churches that you can recognize gift and bring it along. But I hope that those of you who are older and more experienced are able to take these gifted young people and instruct them perfectly. Because look, Apollos became one of the dynamos, one of the powerhouses, one of the pillars of the first century church in the Eastern Mediterranean area. We read of him in 1 Corinthians. We read of him in the letter to Titus, don't we? He became what he became, among other things, because of a faithful, mature, older couple who took him under their wings. Are you listening to me? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.